To the Batmobile.
Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Holy smokes, Batman. It's Gaggle of Geeks with...
Blake Howard.
And Sophie Lai.
Oh, Blake Howard of Graffiti with Punctuation.
Hello, Soph, and this is the sexiest and sultriest and most flu-riddled Gaggle of Geeks I think we've put to air.
Oh, someone have the man flu.
Oh, I've come down with a serious man flu. Serious man flu. But I would like to say that I'm in constant denial about whether I have it and therefore am drawing out this damn thing as long as it will go. So that's where we're at the moment.
Just
so
milk unfortunately. It. Just milk it. Milk it for all you got.
But yeah, we'll do.
Big week, Blake.
A massive week. For me on a personal geek side, but also just like the news is rolling in. We've got so much cool stuff to talk about, and also right this very second as we're speaking, D23, which is the Disney equivalent of Comic-Con, is happening. So there is a stack of news coming out of the Pixar and Disney landscape, and we'll probably start hearing some stuff about Marvel films as well. Plenty to chat about next week. We'll all debrief on the whole wrap-up of D23 as well.
Ooh, does that include Star Wars?
May include a little film called Star Wars as well, so maybe a new trailer, maybe. Oh my gosh! Yeah, no, we gotta wait.
All right, I'll stop. And maybe a
Thor. There is a new Thor trailer on its way. Mark Ruffalo's been tweeting about it, so there is definitely a new Thor trailer on its way. So I think that is right for D23.
Whew. Can't wait for that debrief. But speaking of Disney, though. Aladdin, Guy Ritchie directing a new Aladdin film, but they're having a few casting issues.
Yeah, look, the live-action Aladdin, it's just what Disney do now. They make live-action flicks of their old classics. They've made Cinderella. They've of course, made their most like blisteringly successful one was The Jungle Book. They made Pete's Dragon, which is pretty underseen, but is pretty incredible as well. And they've just, you know, they're going through. They're casting a live-action or a digital animation version of The Lion King. Aladdin, though, they've been very, very considered about not just, you know, going and whitewashing the film. They actually want to choose sort of young Arabic stars of, you know, of really any denomination, Persian stars, essentially. And they're having a great deal of difficulty finding a suitable Aladdin. And they're casting all over the world, and even like random stuff's popping up on the internet this week that like, if your mate looks like Aladdin, get him to call Disney because he might have a shot. And so it's this really funny kind of they've taken an approach to be way more considered with it, but it's proving very, very difficult because they're being very specific, which I think is kind of cool, but it's also funny.
It's funny because also they're like, we can't find anyone. I'm like, really? Do you know how many people live on this earth that fit your criteria? Our actors would suit the role very well. And you're saying you've searched far and wide and you can't find anyone. I mean, the population over there is ginormous. I mean, come on.
Yeah, look, but they have cast it far and wide. So there's... You know, there's a lot. It's an international casting effort, which is really where they got people in London, they got people in LA, they got people in Australia that they're looking for cast. So they're looking pretty much like all over the world. I don't know if they're going to have to get a little bit more specific and sort of target, you know, specific countries in the Mid East to sort of, you know, whether you're talking Iran or looking for a specific Iranian film, you know, actors and things like that, or someone who's migrated over to Europe. But yeah, they're having a lot of difficulty. And, you know, for me, I'd actually rather them have a bit of difficulty because, you know, it's my favorite, it's easily my favorite Disney film and possibly one of my favorite films of all time. I don't actually know there's too many films I've watched more than Aladdin. You know, 90% of that is the absolute blistering genius of Robin Williams as Genie. So for me, I'm like, take all the goddamn time you need and cast it right and do a great job because this one is one that I actually care about being successful in the Disney canon.
I'm all for casting it right. I find it hilarious that they don't even have a list of potentials. It's just a bit, I don't think you're really looking that hard enough because there is an entire Persian film industry.
No one's going to fit.
There is an entire Persian film industry. There's an entire like Middle East film industry. There is heaps of people. Then I just feel they're not. Nah, they're not working hard enough.
not trying hard enough. You heard it here first, Guy Ritchie. You are not trying hard enough.
Try bloody harder. But moving on, Monday, it's coming up. We're very excited. They've had like season 1 to 6 recaps online. It is Game of Thrones.
Oh my God, Game of Thrones. It's absolutely ridiculous. Season 7's here. There's been some premieres of episodes over in the States. People are just absolutely flipping out, as they should. It's like the biggest show in the whole world. Do whatever you can to make sure that you're on board, and do it legally, for God's sakes. There are now plenty of channels with lots of digital streaming and legal digital streaming options, so do that. Pay these goddamn well-deserved Game of Thrones folk. But it's unbelievable. The buzz for this show when it first started, it's now just at fever pitch. And I think we need to look, so if we need to continue our promise to find a pub in the Sydney area that shows Game of Thrones, with a whole bunch of people who are turning off their phones for no spoilers and getting to enjoy it together. That's our goal, to at least see one episode this year together at a pub, and even some gaggle listeners to join us. And we'd love you to reach out and hit us up on Twitter if there's any pubs in the Sydney area that do this.
Let's make it happen. Like, maybe for the grand finale. Like, oh my God. Just
has to be.
Has to be. Has to be. It's always the biggest episode that everyone's like, oh!
Like, I'm almost as excited, like, especially if there's any big twists, I'm almost as excited about watching people watching it in pubs in Europe, like, their reaction shots. Like, if you haven't seen it, go watch when the Mountain, like, just crushes that guy's eyeballs out.
Oberon,
go watch
the
Viper. Go watch him crush the Viper's eyeballs out. The reaction shots to that that are on YouTube. It's one of the funnest, like, YouTube rabbit holes you could possibly go down. It's outstanding. Mm. Outstanding. So check it out. 100%.
Oh, totally. I mean, it's also, we're all going in blind. We are all going in blind. We haven't, no one's read the next
Finally.
Books. I mean, last season we were going in blind, but we had a bit of an idea of where it's going. This time, all in the air. All in the damn air.
Absolutely. I'm so excited.
So excited. Now, Blake, moving on again. God, big week. You went to the premiere of one of our favourite directors, his brand new movie. We believe he was snubbed when he was kicked off a certain movie known as Ant-Man. He's now got a different...
Don't bring up those sores. No, look, Edgar Wright needs to make Edgar Wright movies. I think the best thing that could have possibly happened was him to find another direction as opposed to Ant-Man. And his new movie, Baby Driver, is an absolute treat. So if you haven't heard anything about it, Baby Driver follows sort of a fresh-faced and charming Ansel Elgort, and he plays a getaway driver with tinnitus or tinnitus in his ears. So he has this constant, what they call a hum in his drum, and he drowns it out by playing music. And Doc, who's Kevin Spacey, played by Kevin Spacey, who's his employer, calls him the devil behind the wheel, and he's pretty much the best of the best getaway drivers. And in this film, he's indebted to Doc, and he's stolen a car when he was a younger kid, so he's sort of working off this debt. And eventually, he's coming up to this point where he can be free. And at the same time, he's falling in love with the beautiful Deborah, played by Lily James. But, you know, just like they say in The Godfather Part 3, just when I think I'm out, they pull me back in. So he's kind of constantly being drawn back in to work for Doc. It is a heist movie, absolutely, but it is unlike any heist movie that you've ever seen, because it has got the meticulous precision of a musical. Every single chase scene, every almost single dialogue scene, every single interaction in this movie is so precisely attuned to the soundtrack that you could easily argue that not only is it a great musical, but it might be as good a musical as La La Land.
Wow. Like, it is
so perfect. Even the firing of guns is done to the musical track. Like, it's all a pure soundtrack. It's not scored as a traditional movie is scored. It's deliberately picked tracks. Baby is such an amazing getaway driver that he times the amount of time it will take him to complete his job by song, and has songs chosen before the different jobs that he does. And it's just a toe-tapping, really brilliant, fun film. So great cast too. John Hamm, Isaac Gonzalez, Jamie Foxx, Kevin Spacey, as I said. There's a couple of others in there. John Bernthal's in there for a minute. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers plays No-Nose Eddie because he has no nose. And it's just a treat. And I was stoked and lucky enough to not only see the film before the premiere, but I went again. That's not something that I would usually do. And our Gaggle of Geeks alumni, Maria Lewis, and I dressed up as Buddy, played by John Hamm, and Darling, played by Isaac Gonzalez. We dressed up as those guys and cosplayed them from their first heist in the film to go and check it out, because Edgar Wright, Ansel Elgort, Lily James were in Sydney earlier this week, and Edgar did a Q&A with the one and only Dr. George Miller of Mad Max.
Amazing.
Q&A. It was an incredible... Look, it's a great flick. It's even better on the second watch because you're just flabbergasted by how precise and perfect and how there's echoes of lyrics, and how there's, you know, sometimes you see the lyrics of the songs that Baby is hearing in the graffiti on the walls of the street that he's walking past. It's just, it's a really fun and really great movie, and I had a great time watching it. And I also got to interview Edgar Wright, which we've got a little grab of off here. So, I had an absolutely great time, so if you've got to see it.
No, I absolutely will, but here's your chat with Edgar Wright now.
If you were going to recast Baby Driver for like 70s, 80s, maybe 90s, could you give me who you would change if you were directing, as opposed to, you know, even just for say like, let's say like Baby and Buddy and maybe Doc, like who would your like dream 70s, 80s cast be from that era?
Oh my God. The boundaries are very like sort of like wide there. Funnily enough, Peter Bogdanovich emailed me last night. A, he'd seen the movie, and B, he said, somebody told me that are you on Instagram reading my book? Which is funny, but he emailed me yesterday to say he really enjoyed Baby Driver. I was trying to get out of him as well. I had this theory, and I'm trying to like nail him down on it. Is that he rewrote unofficially The Wild Angels. And so I was trying to get from Peter Bogdanovich, just thinking, did you write the speech that's in the Primal Scream song that's also in The World's End?
Yes.
We want to be free to do what we want to do. Yeah. And I said to him, did you write that bit? And he says, I wrote 80% of the movie, but I don't remember. So I'm actually going to make him watch the clip and say, I'm talking specifically this bit. Did you write this bit? Because if you did, that's major. To answer your question, I mean, that's a tough one. What year? Very specific.
All right, let's say 1974.
Oh, my God. That's.
I know it's one of your favorite years.
It's giving me brain ache. Let's come back to that one.
Okay,
I haven't
cool.
got like a pithy answer to that straight away.
Okay, cool.
Give you your casting thing.
Your casting Baby Driver in 1974. Who would be?
I say Burt Lancaster as Doc.
Great.
Who else?
Baby. Hamm? Baby or...
1974. Well, let's go for Ryan O'Neill. He was already in The Driver, but he can play this one as well.
Beautiful. Yeah. What about Buddy?
Buddy. Dean Martin.
And what about Deborah?
Deborah. 1974 Deborah. What about Goldie Hawn?
Oh. Outstanding. And finally, Bats. I need to know Bats.
What about Richard Roundtree? I changed it. Let's say Bernie Casey.
Bernie Casey.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you, Edgar. Thanks so much, man.
Edgar Wright himself, Blake Howard.
Recasting the movie in 1974. That was fun. Good chat with him. There's more stuff up on Graffiti with Punctuation from our chat. We only had a very limited time with him. I was there joined by Richard Gray from The Real Bits. We were doing a round table, but he's just always a treat to chat to. He was in great spirits. And I think, you know, even at the Q&A, he said, you know, 97% on Rotten Tomatoes is nothing to sneeze at. He's very proud of his latest flick and he deserves to be.
Amazing. Well, I can't wait to see it. But Blake, till next time, so much to talk about. Game of Thrones, D23. Gaggle of Geeks. Woo! We'll catch you next week.
See you soon. See you, geeks. Bye.